You all know what it is to try and find something, to seek something out that you really want. Some of you might be collectors, and you collect things, and you might have a particular collection, and you're trying to go and find that one thing, and you can't find it, and you go from place to place to place, and you can't find it, whether it's a car or a comic book or an action figure or something, you know, cool and geeky like that. You know what it is to collect, and you seek and seek and seek, and you just don't give up. You have to keep looking. Some of you who like to decorate your homes know what this is like. You have your living room, and there's this one spot, and you want a piece of furniture. You want a coffee table. You want the right thing in that place, and you go from store to store to store, and you check the new stores, and you check the old stores, and you can't find that one thing to fit in its place. You just can't. Oh, you know, the edges are too rounded. Oh, the edges are too squared. That's too brown. That's not brown enough. And you look, and you look, and you look. And you drive your family nuts as you look. Some of you men, when you propose to your girlfriends, know what it's like to try and find the perfect engagement ring. And you looked, and you looked, and you looked. It was simultaneously the most fun I've ever had and the most horrifying experience of my life. When I was looking for my wife, or my girlfriend at the time, had said, I want something unique and classical. What do I do with that? I don't know. I tricked her into finding her ring size without her ever knowing. Good for me, but what does this look like? So I had my younger brother and one of my good friends at the time and like a bunch of hoodlums. We went from jewelry store to jewelry store to jewelry store looking for the perfect ring. We spent 2 days looking for that perfect ring. We were trying to find the perfect thing. You know what it is to try and find and seek things. A few years ago, I lost my wallet, which normally wouldn't matter, except for the fact that we had just come back from a long trip, and because we were traveling, I had a little bit of cash in there. I had $300 in there. That's a lot of money. It's 300 bucks. And you know what I found out? The government will give you a new driver's license. Your credit card company will give you new credit card companies. Nobody, like, reissues you new cash when you lost it. Once that's gone, it's gone! That's $300, you gotta be kidding me. So I'm searching in my office here. I'm searching all over the church. I'm looking at home. I'm looking in our driveway. I'm tearing everything up. I'm looking in places I haven't gone for days, for years. I've gotta find this wallet. Where is it? So finally, I can't find it anywhere. I come over to the church parking lot. Last place I knew I had it was at church somewhere. I come over to the church parking lot one night, Sunday night, and I start digging. Go ahead, throw this picture up here, Drayton. So I start digging through the rows, and go ahead and put up the other picture. And actually, Scott, can you try and grab those two side lights? I know, demanding pastor. So it looks like it's crazy. I dug up the whole driveway. It was the worst winter we had, you know, 2 years ago when it was nothing but snow all the time. And so I'm digging, and some, you know, people turn around all here all the time. So as I'm digging, people are coming in, and they're like, "What in the world is going on?" They see this. I mean, it looks like it's the winter crop. I'm sowing seeds for, it's just crazy. So people turn around, but they stopped. They didn't do the turnaround. They backed their cars up like, okay, crazy person over here. What's going on? I don't care. It's 300 bucks. I got to find my wallet. I didn't find it there. Searching for weeks, for months on end. Finally, on my birthday, it was a nice birthday present. Go ahead and put up the next picture. It's hard to see it, but I circled it. I found my wallet in a snow pile as the snow was melting. And praise God, the money was still inside. You know what the feeling is like when you find something that you are seeking after. We also know, if you found Jesus Christ, what it is to find the kingdom of heaven. It is a gift far greater. It is a treasure far more valuable than $300 in a wallet. Some of you were blessed enough to grow up in the church and you found Jesus easily. Others of you, it was a long, long process. Seeking, finding. But once you have that treasure, you understand how valuable it is to have salvation in Jesus Christ, to know that your sins are forgiven, to know that you've been adopted by the God of the universe, that you've been declared righteous, that you no longer have to fear death because God Almighty holds you in the palm of His hand and He'll never let you go. What a treasure it is. What should we do with that treasure? What should Christians do with the treasure of the kingdom of heaven? What should we do with that treasure? Jesus concludes a series of His parables with this idea of treasure and finding treasure, seeking it out. Matthew chapter 13, starting in verse 44. Jesus said this, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure buried in a field that a man found and reburied. Then in his joy, he goes and sells everything he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. When he found one priceless pearl, he went and sold everything he had and bought it." So he gives us two images here. They're very simple. It's like treasure you find in a field. Now, in the ancient world, before you had banks, if you weren't basically a king or a mighty lord of an area, you didn't have a bank. You didn't have a storehouse. You didn't have a vault. Where did you hide your treasure? You didn't hide it in your house because the houses weren't very secure. You couldn't put ADT or anything on there, and it just didn't happen. So what would you do? You would find an obscure place. You would dig a hole. You'd bury your treasure, and you'd hide it there, and only you knew where it was. Preferably, it'd be a place that you if you remembered. And that's where buried treasure came up. Most people didn't. And so in this story, Jesus says a guy is going through a field. He finds treasure. Wow. He wants to go get it. He sells everything he has to buy this field so that he now possesses the treasure. Or it's like a man finding fine pearls. The man is looking for pearls. And it's a collector. You know, this is where your collector society of us comes across. He sells everything to find the perfect pearl when he finds it. I don't know about you. There are things I don't have in my personal geeky collection that I would really like. If I sold everything in order to find that perfect comic or action figure or geeky memorabilia thing, I'd be in trouble. But Jesus is saying the kingdom of heaven is so important, it is worth giving up everything for. Everything. Sell it. We're not really a pearl culture. We don't understand pearls as well as other things, but we understand diamonds. When I was buying my wife's diamond, I'm going in with a male mentality. Oh, I'm going to get the biggest thing I can possibly afford with this. Yeah, this is going to be so big. She's going to get carpal tunnel carrying around in her hand. Oh. So we're going. This one jeweler, thank goodness, she says, "Yeah, you don't want that. No, no. You don't want quantity. You want quality." So don't worry about the biggest size. What you want is you want to get the nicest clarity. So you want a nice clear, and you want a beautiful color. You don't want it to be ugly. You also want a nice cut. Yeah, you can get a big ring, a big diamond, but it's the cut's not going to be right. No, what you want is something that's cut in all these different ways, and so it shines. Here, let me show you. Conk. Oh, that's the one I want. No, 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 no. Look at this one. Look at the light. Whoa, that one sparkles. It's like a diamond in the sky. It's like a star. Yeah. She says, you want quality. Seek that out. So, of course, I got the smaller one because I was told quality's better. That's what Jesus is saying. Look for quality. Everything that you have, seek out the kingdom of heaven. Seek out God, His salvation. We often, and correctly, say that salvation is a free gift. You cannot buy salvation in Jesus Christ. It is a free gift. There is nothing you can do to earn forgiveness in Jesus Christ. There's absolutely nothing. But the flip side of that is simultaneously true. Coming to faith in Jesus costs you everything. When you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, what does that word Lord mean? It means master. You are my master. I repent of my sins. I submit myself to you. I surrender myself to you. And our master can say, I own everything about your life. I will take away the things I don't like. I will enhance the things that I do like. I will transform your life. It costs everything. And those of you who have given your life over to Jesus, you understand that it's worth it. There is absolutely nothing in this life that can compare to a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It is worth it. Jesus says it is worth giving up everything to find the kingdom of heaven. So what should we do with this? Most of us, we're at church, most of us have found this wonderful treasure. What should we do with this beautiful, perfect treasure of the kingdom of heaven? What are the implications of this treasure of the kingdom of heaven? Read along with me, verse 47. Jesus tells another parable. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a large net thrown into the sea. It collected every kind of fish. And when it was full, they dragged it ashore, sat down, and gathered the good fish into containers, but threw out the worthless ones. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will go out, separate the evil people from the righteous, and throw them into the blazing furnace. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This is what's at stake. This is why we need to find the kingdom of heaven. This is why we have to sell everything, because this is what's at stake. He says it's like this. It's like fishermen who go out and they fish. And you just have a big net and you bring the net ashore and you say, okay, let's separate what we've got here. Okay, good fish, you know. If you, any of you are fishermen, oh, a trout, you know, bass, that's good. Ooh, an eel. Ugh, throw it out. Oh, water moccasin. Who wants to eat that? Nummy. I know people do. It's gross. Whatever. Out. Gone. He's saying there will come a divide. Where the angels will divide the righteous from the wicked. And that is a theological term. It doesn't mean the good people from the bad people. It means the righteous, the ones who are in right standing with God, the ones who have accepted Christ as their Savior, those who are considered righteous before God because of the blood of Jesus Christ, and those who have refused to submit themselves to the Lord God Almighty. There will be a separation. And the bad fish will go into separation, says the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now again, that term, I think we misunderstand it sometime. It is a dual term that means you're miserable in a place where you are. I hate being here, God, and I also hate you, the gnashing of teeth. I hate where I am, and I hate you. It is a horrifying image, but the people who are sent to hell, eternally separated from God, are not going to say, well, take me back. There will be people in there who completely and utterly hate God. And so that the perfect new heaven and new earth are not tainted, it is an isolation colony to keep them from spoiling God, because they just want to rebel against God. Rebellion will never happen. I hate you, God. He says, this is what's at stake. If you do not find the kingdom of heaven, this is what's at stake. If you don't come to faith in Jesus Christ, this is what's at stake. So what should we do? How should we respond? What should we do with the precious kingdom of heaven? What should we do with this precious gift of salvation that we've come to understand and learn? Jesus gives the answer here, verse 51. Jesus said, have you understood all these things? Yes, they told him. Therefore, he said to them, every student of Scripture instructed in the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who brings out of his storeroom what is new and what is old. When Jesus had finished these parables, he left there. So he says, every student of Scripture instructed in the kingdom of heaven. All right, so that's all of you now, because you just heard most of the message. Is like a landowner who brings out of his storeroom what is new and what is old. This contrasts with the beginning of his parable. The beginning of the parable, it's like a man who, you know, he finds a field and he sells everything he has to find this treasure. And he finds the treasure. Now, he's rich. He's a landowner. He doesn't have to hide his treasure in a field. He's got a storehouse. And he says, the kingdom of heaven is like this. Every student who understands what I'm saying, every student who's understood what it is to follow Jesus and the precious gift of eternal life in Christ Jesus, is like a rich landowner. You have the greatest treasure in the world. You don't need to hide your treasures. You have a lavish storehouse, and you should come and not hide your gifts, not hide the treasure of salvation, but you bring out the gifts, and you share them with the people, and you share them as gifts old and new. There are some wonderful old items that you can find, like antiques, antique vase, an antique piece of furniture. Old wine is better than new wine. But then there's new stuff. There's new things that are better. Like new clothes. Old clothes don't hang, you know, they fall apart. New food. Old food, not so much, right? I ate day-old pizza for breakfast this morning. Not as good as new pizza. New coffee. Ah, better than day-old coffee. You ever try that? Sometimes you're desperate and you do, but old and new. Jesus is saying to his people who have understood salvation, who've understood what it is to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, bring it out as old and new. What should we do with the precious kingdom of heaven? We should bring it to the people as both old and new. How do you do that? Well, you say, look, God from eternity past has loved humanity. His loving kindness has been eternal. He has revealed himself throughout all of human history to humanity. And now here you are. And you're trying to find purpose, you're trying to find value, you're trying to find meaning and fulfillment in life in all the wrong places, in sin and entertainment, in yourself. None of that works. The God of the universe is calling you to repent and believe in Jesus Christ and to have a new life. He will give you a new heart. He will transform your life. You'll never worry about, you won't have to worry about death any longer because you know where you will go for all of eternity. You will never have to walk in this life alone again because right now, God will never leave you or forsake you if you accept the Son Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. It's old, it's new. That's why I've always had always found it weird when you look at different religions. You have these old religions that are mired in the past, and everything is about everything that happened in the past, and you just kind of live in the past. And they'll say life is cyclical, and you just live in the past, and it all repeats itself anyways, and it's all old, ancient, and has no bearing on your life today. And then you have new religions, you know, like Scientology or Mormonism that say, for all centuries, humanity never understood religion. Everyone was deluded forever. No one understood what the truth is. But we finally figured out what the truth is. We finally figured out what every person has never found out. Here's something new. None of that makes sense to me. So are you telling me that the vast majority of humans who ever existed just were all deluded? No. That God didn't love people before the 1800s? No. I mean, how were people saved in the Old Testament? It's the same way they're saved today, by faith. Abraham believed God. He trusted God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. The Old Testament saints are saved the same way you and I are today. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so, Jesus says, you have to bring it as old and new. Yes, this is rooted in history. Yes, God has revealed himself throughout all of human history to humanity. But yes, this is relevant for your life today. Because you're trying to find meaning and purpose. You're trying to find salvation in a pill. You're trying to find salvation in entertainment. You're trying to find salvation in your own glory. None of that will work. You need Jesus Christ. He will transform your life today. And God the Holy Spirit will live within you. And begin to comfort you and transform you and change you and guide you and give you wisdom and insight. What should we do with the knowledge of this precious kingdom of heaven that we have? Bring it to the people. Share it with the people as both old and new. Many of you, all of you, know what happened this last week in Orlando. Gunman who pledged allegiance to the Islamic State went into a nightclub and murdered 49 individuals. Let that sink in. Countless others injured. 49 people dead. And the church has largely said nothing. We haven't. We have said nothing. These are people who are made in the image of God. These were people who Jesus came and died on the cross for. And the church has largely said nothing. Most of our leaders have been silent. Most of us as church individuals have said nothing. And I know what the reason is. I get it, because I've had the offline conversations. Oh, Pastor, but you don't understand. It was a gay nightclub. Like that matters. Like Jesus didn't love them. Like Jesus didn't come and die for them. But the church has absolutely said nothing. When what is our mandate? What is it? What are we supposed to do with this precious treasure that we have? Hide it under a bushel. No! Bring it to the people. We're not supposed to be silent. We're not supposed to run away from the danger. We're supposed to run towards it. Yes, it's a messy situation. Yes, it's an ugly situation. But we're not to be silent. We're supposed to run towards it, not away from it. These are people with families who love them. Their families are grieving right now. They need to hear the hope of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. They need to hear that their sins can be forgiven because of Jesus. They need to be comforted by the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at that. 49 people. Made in the image of God. Did they need Jesus more or less than you? Did they need Jesus more or less than me? To further indict us, there were several other tragedies that happened in Orlando at the same time that Christians cared about. Go to the next slide. Christian artist from The Voice, Christina Grimmie, thank you, was killed in cold blood after one of her concerts. And yeah, it's terrible, it's horrifying. Man, Christians were all talking about that. Wow, a martyr, and was she killed for her faith, and all this conversation, how terrible, how awful. We talked about it. Did she need Jesus any more or less than the people who died at that nightclub? Was she made more or less in the image of God than those people at the nightclub? No. What should we do with this knowledge of the kingdom of heaven? What should we do with this precious treasure that we have in Jesus? We bring it to the people old and new. God loves you. He's here for you. He's grieving with you. Go to the next slide. Lane Graves, also in Orlando. Christians cared about that. 2-year-old little boy was dragged to death by a gator. Horrifying. Was he free from original sin? Did he find eternity by himself just by virtue of who he was? Did he make it into heaven all by? No. I can tell you, I have a 2-year-old little boy myself. I believe in original sin because of my children. They're horrible. They really are. They're just terrible. And this little boy was carried into heaven through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Did he need Jesus any more or less than those people who died at the nightclub? So why are we silent? You can take the picture down. It is an indictment. We have been given this glorious treasure in Jesus Christ. It is the most important treasure. It's way more important than an engagement ring. It's way more important than $300 in a lost wallet. It is the greatest treasure. It is more important than anything else in your life. And what do we do with it? We're like Gollum from Lord of the Rings. And we're like, that's not what Jesus says. Bring it to the people. Run towards the danger. But instead, what do? We say, well, you don't understand. It was a gay nightclub. Who cares? Who cares? We run towards the danger, not away from it. But we Christians, we do care, because I've had the offline conversation, and I've seen the online conversations, and I've seen what some of our Christian leaders have said, and it's turned into this whole conversation about gun control. Oh, we got to get rid of the guns, and that's why we have to. And then the other side, oh no, we got to keep our guns, and this is why. And it's just this whole conversation. And then politics, oh, Hillary will save us. Oh, Donald Trump will save us. Oh my goodness, for crying out loud, we are Christians. Salvation will not come in the form of a gun. Salvation will not come from the Democrats or the Republican or a third party candidate. Salvation comes from Jesus Christ alone. We have the greatest treasure, and we're talking about guns in politics? Are you kidding me? We are children trying to sell mud pies when we have the greatest treasure in the universe in our storehouse. And the first thing we do, our first response to everything, is to bring out the gospel of Jesus Christ and present it as old and new. And say from eternity past, God has known you. And he loves you. He's revealed himself to your forefathers, and now he's revealing himself to you in the person of Jesus Christ. He will change your life today. He will comfort you where you hurt. He'll comfort you in your grief. He loves you. What should we do with the precious gift of the kingdom of heaven? We should share it with the people as old and new. Find the treasure. Share the treasure. Let's pray. Father God, first and foremost, we must repent. We must repent that we have failed. And I think we failed because it's a messy situation, it's a messy scenario, and we've decided to turn it into politics to look for salvation or gun control or any number of other things. Lord, we repent. We repent that our first response has not been to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to comfort those who are hurting. We repent that our first response has not been the gospel of bringing the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world who desperately need it. And Lord, we settle for things that don't matter in light of eternity, things that will not bring us salvation, instead of pointing them to our great Lord and our Master and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for this congregation that whatever happens in our lives, our first answer, our first response will be energized by the gospel. It will be to bring the gospel, and Lord, that requires wisdom. There are times when we have to speak harsh truths, and there are times where we need to bring comfort. And Lord, we do not have the wisdom to always navigate when those decisions need to be made, when we need to bring comfort, when we need to bring truth, when we need to bring a mixture of the two. We don't know how to speak. We don't know what to say. We find ourselves at a loss of words. And so sometimes we are silent, Lord, and we commit sins of omission. So I pray for this congregation, Lord, that you'll give us wisdom. Give us wisdom to speak when we need to speak. Give us wisdom to seek comfort when we need to seek comfort. But whatever we do, Lord, even if we mess up, I pray that you will energize this congregation to run toward the danger with the gospel of Jesus Christ. If it's repudiated, if we are hated for it, if we are mocked, if we are ridiculed, Lord, it doesn't matter. The most compassionate thing we can do in every and any situation is to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the greatest treasure. And this world is dying without it. We pray, Lord, for the whole situation in Orlando, for the families of those who lost loved ones, for those who are in the hospital recovering. Pray that everyone involved, Lord, somehow hears the gospel of Jesus Christ, despite our blunder as an American church, despite our silence. I pray that the few people who have run towards the danger, who are Christians, Lord, that you will take their work and you will multiply it, and the seeds that they plant will take root, that somehow you are glorified in this, and people come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And Lord, when other tragedies befall us, whether they're personal tragedies or national tragedies, pray that you help us to run toward the danger with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Help us to present the gospel as old and new, this wonderful treasure that we've found. Let us not keep it tucked away, but share it with the world. It's in Jesus Christ's name that I pray. Amen.